Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast, regular discussion with people in the north of England who lead businesses, they employ people, and they've got some of the ideas to help the economy grow. The Northern Business Podcast is produced by Recognition PR. We serve dozens of companies in different sectors across the country, some of which occasionally on the podcast. We're kindly sponsored by Virtue Motors PLC, one of the top automotive retailers in the UK. It's got dealerships all over the north and has some of the best brands. It also includes the successful commercial vehicle retailer Vans Direct. I'm Graeme Robb, and joining me presenting today is Jamie Collis.
That's me.
And in the studio, we've got Terry Walsh, who's the CEO at Materials Processing Institute, and Martin Walker, editor at the magazine, the business magazine, Tees Business. And you can only see it in parts of the Northeast, but for Northwest viewers and listeners, can I assure you, it's a good product. So, just catch up on this week. We've had a very busy week.
Yeah, it's been all over. I think one of the things that stood out for me, I was at a business networking event. It was a celebration event for a client up in Newcastle, RG Rycroft Glenton, a business advisory firm. They have an annual drinks. But there was a real mixed mood there. Positive, because everyone was celebrating and everyone was enjoying, you know, the hospitality and all that. But also positive about there's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of stuff going on in terms of corporate finance deals and things like that. I think because of this impending capital gains tax
issue. Yeah.
So there might be a flurry of activity, a sort of race for gold, and then we'll see what happens.
A feast, then a famine.
Yeah, it sounds very much like it.
I've been working with Virtue Motors, our sponsor, I should say, but they've been issuing their annual results. It's interesting, Virtue Motors is now the largest firm in Northeast England by turnover, well over £4 billion, nearly £5 billion a year turnover, bigger than Nissan. Anyway,
I bought three cars.
You bought that? That's pretty good. Anyway, they've held their own, even though the car market is down a bit. But the interesting thing is that electric vehicles, or BEVs, you'll see BEVs. She's not a young woman. She's actually battery electric vehicle. That's what's
okay, right.
The BEV statistics show that there are fewer electric vehicles on sale in the country. In fact, sales volumes went down by 7%. But Virtue Motors managed to buck that trend and increased its sales of them by 10.9%.
I've got one of them.
Yeah, so, you've got one of them.
Fully electric, I am. Fully electric.
Fully electric. I'm only half electric, okay. But there we are.
Well, it's an age thing.
Let's talk to Terry and to Martin. But first of all, folks, could you tell us each, just for a couple of seconds, a little bit about your organisations? Materials Processing Institute is a very interesting organisation because it hasn't developed as a business in the conventional way at all, has it?
No, I mean, we're classed as what they call an RTO, so we're effectively a research institute, although increasingly we're diversifying more of what we do into the commercial third-party market. And effectively what we do is we do the hard graft to solve the decarbonisation challenges, well, globally, but certainly for the UK, particularly in the material sector. And for us, that means steel, cement, glass, ceramics. And we're part of a number of institutes like Fisk, for example. And we are tasked with coming up with the material solutions going forward to future-proof British industry.
And you are based, when I was a teenager, where you are based now was always regarded as the science bit of British Steel. It was the labs.
Yeah. We actually, in December this year, we'll be celebrating our 80th anniversary. Although for the last 10 years, we got carved out of Tata Steel as it was then in 2014. So we're celebrating our 80th anniversary and our 10th anniversary of being a standalone company. We've been around for a while.
Amazing.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mike, over to you. 30 seconds. Give us your elevator.
What is it you do?
So Tees Business is the voice of business for the Tees region, launched in the spring of 2015. So we also celebrate our 10th anniversary next spring. So we promote businesses to the Tees Valley region. We've been doing that, like I say, for nearly 10 years through our printed magazine publication, but we're also strong online through social media, networking events and business awards events as well.
Right. Well, let's have a little bit of a drill down into what Terry is talking about, because this is a very interesting cutting edge element of work. Even though you've been doing it 80 years, your labs there, the future of some of the heavy industry in the UK can be based on some of the research. Tell us the kind of things you're currently looking at. What are the exciting projects?
I guess the most prominent is, and the most exciting is, at the end of last month, Tata Steel closed their last blast furnace in South Wales. So the UK now is primarily, there are a couple of assets that still make some steel, but the UK now is one of the only Western economies that doesn't meet its own requirements in steel production. And that's obviously a very bad thing for the employees in South Wales, but it's a short-term measure because the government are actually supporting a big investment program in two separate areas to reinvigorate UK steel. So they're given £500 million to Tata Steel to implement new technology. So the old technology is very polluting. It's the old blast furnace technology is what you'll hear referred to. And that technology produces about 2.4 tons of CO2 for every ton of steel produced. The new technology, which is called electric arc furnace or EAF, that if you use renewable energy with hydrogen reduction, etc., that can produce 0.15 tons of CO2 per ton of steel going forward. And all of the investment going in, so the money that's going to Tata, there'll be investments by British Steel as well in EAF technology. And there is also a £2 billion sovereign wealth fund, which has been earmarked for more steel investment. All of that will drive the future growth of steel UK, all in EAF. So we will be the greenest Western economy with the lowest carbon footprint in producing steel. And at MPI, we have the only 7-ton EAF pilot facility with a continuous caster on the back end and the capability of utilising any grade of scrap steel as the raw material. That's the only facility of its kind in Europe.
So the future steel plants that will open in the UK will be based on some of this technology you're piloting?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you talked about the green sort of result in terms of the statistical carbon that it produces. Are there any other results? Is it cheaper? Is it quicker? Are there any other gains from using this technology?
Well, the principal one is that it's cheaper in the sense that there's less people per ton of steel required to produce it. So in some aspects, those production costs are lower. But the other advantage that we need to really work hard on the government, it's not a done deal because we do still have a significant disadvantage in energy costs in the UK compared to France and Germany, for example. So there's still, I think the government has done the current government has done a fantastic job at reinvigorating the industrial strategy. And as part of that, the steel strategy. There is more to be done, though, and we still need to work hard on certain aspects of that to make it a joined up thinking solution.
I was watching the GMB union guy, Gary Smith, and talking about how there is a pursuit of net zero, which is more ideological than practical. And that results in blue collar workers feeling the pressure. And it is resulting, in the case of steel, in a gap in sovereign capacity. Everything you just said would work. It will come to pass. But it's been pushed through by regulation and by the way the market has worked, maybe too soon.
Well, I don't think too soon is too soon. I mean, this will be driven by the general public. You know, people care about the environment and they care about climate change. And people are smart enough to see what's going to be happening in the future. And you have to make the changes now in order to deliver that future. So I don't agree with the statement that it's too soon. I think the advantage we will have once we start operating these new EAF furnaces in 2 years in Port Talbot, South Wales, and a little bit later in Scunthorpe and up here on Teesside, then that is our journey to being the most advanced Western economy with the greenest steel production. So right. I don't think too soon is too soon.
This is just a great example, isn't it, Martin, of what's happening in this area. The innovation that comes out of Teesside, the stories you hear all the time about that was founded in Teesside, that goes back, you know, a couple of hundred years, but it's still happening now with this green agenda. From the sort of events that you hold and the businesses you're drawn to, you're seeing this development of innovation all the time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, especially in the digital and tech sector as well, on Teesside, which is quite strong. You've got the likes of Double 11, Behaviour North, and they're working on lots of innovative stuff around games development. So yeah, we hear a lot of that at our events. But I think at grassroots, I mean, we're talking about big picture stuff, but at grassroots level, I think we're still seeing the same issues, and especially around recruitment. But I think one of the problems at the minute is uncertainty around what's coming out of the government, and it feels like over the last few years we've gone through phases of uncertainty, whether it was Brexit or COVID. political uncertainty and electoral uncertainty locally and nationally. And now it seems to be, you know, what's coming out of the government is causing people to just be a bit more cautious.
There's a bit unbalanced. You're talking, Terry, about the government reinvigorating this sort of drive to net zero, which is all very positive. And then the other side, you've got businesses going, but can I hire? Where's the extra burden of cost going to come from? How am I going to do it? Somewhere that's got to meet in the middle. Otherwise,
yeah, I'm talking about grassroots
kind of exactly, but
small business.
But in that amount level of small businesses, they're going to be interacting with these big businesses and part of their supply chains and finding those skills. I mean, you know, you're here also to talk about skills in terms of what you're doing to promote skills in this area. So employers need to be able to have the confidence to bring in young people to train them, take older people and retrain them, and know that that's going to be okay. So what happens in the budget, you know, in a week or so's time is going to keep people on edge, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. But like, just to touch on what you said there about the innovation and trying to educate our young people about, you know, some of the work that you're doing and other companies as well. And that's why we launched a magazine called T-Skills. We've got the launch of it tomorrow. And it goes back to what a lot of companies have said to us for quite a number of years. The original idea of T-Skills we came up with actually pre-COVID, and it just took us so long to get it off the ground.
So tell us about it. Well,
So
the people,
if
you're listening, you can't see it.
Hot off the press.
Very impressive.
So really, it's about trying to connect businesses with young people. So it sounds straightforward, but I think a lot of young people say you have to leave TSAT to get a decent job. You've got a lot of companies saying we've got loads of jobs, we just can't find the right skilled people. And obviously a lot with them, you know, with what's coming online with TeesWorks, or you know, in the near future as well, we just felt that the young people aren't being educated about the skills that are on offer on TeesSide. So yeah, took us a few years, but we've eventually got there. I'm really proud of it. We've got lots of local educational organisations involved, a lot of local businesses and big businesses, right from your likes of PD Ports, the region's biggest employer, down to, you know, really small businesses who want to talk to young people about some of the exciting jobs that they've got coming online.
Terry, you've been in post for 3 months or so now. Well, what's your take of the process industry, the steel industry, the Teesside economy? Because it is a little unique. But this is the Northern Business Podcast, but Teesside is just a little bit unique, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and it's got so much going for it. You know, it still has a huge amount of infrastructure, legacy infrastructure. And that can still be utilised. So, for example, I mentioned earlier that when British Steel build their EAF on Teesside, then one of the advantages is it's got all of the infrastructure there in terms of land. It's got all of the access to really good communication links. It's got access to the port for, you know, bringing raw materials in, exporting finished product. And it's got a fantastic skill base. You know, some of the older guys who were steel makers, you know, who could come back and make steel again. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to touch on the encouraging young people, I fundamentally agree with that. And one of the things, even since I've been here, we did an event 2 months ago where we had 40 students. They were all science students, 20 from Glasgow, 20 from Aberdeen and 20 from Teesside. And we just ran an event for them for an afternoon, just showing them some of the things that we did in a fun, entertaining way. But it was really all about demonstrating to 14 to 17-year-olds that there are future jobs in STEM activities on Teesside. And they're good quality jobs. You know, they typically pay higher than the average wage. So it's really all about companies like ourselves, and we're only 75 people, but it's companies like us investing time, reaching out to the local student population to say, look, you know, there are good quality jobs in Teesside, and they are based in the science environment, and you can. And what we also do to try and reinforce that is every year we have three scholarships, and those three scholarships, they're called the Milman Scholarships, and those are specifically for university students who have grown up or are living on Teesside.
And a scholarship is more meaningful now because that scholarship's been going for a long time. But actually, university is an expensive thing.
Yeah.
And it might go up again. Who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
One more question for you, Terry. You did touch on the government announcing its industrial strategy, and it's also had an investment summit this week and has got a lot of inward investment, billions worth of inward investment, which is great. So is that touching on the organisation you're dealing with? I know, for instance, you've managed to get a lot of your processes as a business rather than the processing of the materials all tied to accountancy, the way in which you're marketing your services. Is all this coming through now and helping you?
Well, it's a journey as anything. And, you know, we're developing our business all the time. So if you go back 10 years, we were the research arm of Tata Steel. That was our customer. We had one customer and it was our owner, and it was Tata. Then as we emerged as a standalone business, we diversified into being the physical research institute for UK Steel. Now we're having to spread our wings even further and start looking to further afield. So we're diversifying geographically into Europe and into working with other organizations globally. But we're also diversifying what we do, because our skills are, our DNA is in steel, but our skill set and our approach to decarbonization, it can be applied to other significant sectors, like, for example, green cement, which is quite closely linked to steel, like critical minerals recovery, so recycling, all of those small volume, big value stuff that comes in, gets used in Apple computers and so on. And the whole decarbonisation journey is just becoming more and more important. And we've got a massive skill set in a whole range of fields, not just steel, to deliver that decarbonisation.
It is fascinating. We at Recognition, brought a national journalist to the northeast of England just last week, and we took him through Teesside to see the journey of lithium, which is being extracted in the North Pennines and will be eventually refined in Teesside, a critical mineral, and could be used in car battery plants near Nissan and so on. So there is a circular economy developing. It's a theoretical thing in some ways, but now there's a demonstration of it in action.
Well, I don't think that circular economy is a theoretical thing. I think it's being delivered. And, from small seeds, big oak trees grow. But I think that, like I said, I think the drive for this will come from the man in the street. They want climate. They want to stop climate change. They do care about the environment for their grandkids. And all the work that we are doing now is really the building blocks for delivering that decarbonized circular economy, with much less environmental impact, but delivering this, as you mentioned earlier, delivering those sovereign value critical minerals like cement, like steel, etc. So I think that circularity is happening. And the reason we're focusing on cement as well as steel is one of the co-products from cement, from steel production, is a raw material in... one of the co-products from steel production is a raw material in cement production. So it just makes a lot of sense to tie the two together.
Jamie, we should mention the North of England Critical Minerals Conference.
7th of November in Newcastle. It's organised by a company called Weirdo Lithium. And it's going to leave me on track and talk to Martin about it. It attracts people to sit in the audience from outside the North to find out what's happening in critical minerals and those associated industries, battery production and things like that, to come up and see what's happening in the North. That leads me nicely into what I was going to say to you. You're a great flag bearer for Teesside, do a brilliant job at that. And obviously, as I say, we're the Northern Business Podcast, so it's about going beyond that. So you're going to reach out beyond that in this podcast, but you do that anyway. And I'm interested to know how you're getting that message out beyond Teesside, that this is the place for, well, Graham just mentioned, inward investment and things like that.
Yeah, so we do have we've got Tees Business, which is, as you know, a local publication for the Tees Valley area. But we also publish an annual publication called This is Tees Valley. So that's promoting, so Tees Business, if you like, is Teesside talking to Teesside. This is Tees Valley is Teesside talking to the UK. So we published the fourth edition of This is Tees Valley this summer. It's in partnership with Tees Valley Combined Authority. So we publish, we print 10,000 copies of This is Tees Valley, and probably about half of them are circulated around the UK via a mailing list. So we've bought in various mailing lists, but they go to events. So we go to UK Reef, for example, in Leeds, and circulate them there. But they're also circulated locally around the Tees Valley area as well. And that's really, it's gone really well for us. It's more about, like I say, promoting. We all know how great Teesside is, but it's about promoting the area beyond our boundaries, if you like.
Martin, are you noticing among the business community in the area you serve, and also the readers, that there is hesitancy and a little bit of worry? There's some good stuff. Today, inflation's come out at 1.9, so it's 7%. And we might get interest rates down at last, but if that happens, that will come down once, but it might be twice. And, of course, the investment I talked about. So that's the good stuff. Mm. But I notice when I talk to people in business, there is some hesitation and worry. This stuff about the employer national insurance going up, it's concerning. And capital gains tax is putting people off deals or squeezing the normal timelines. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think a lot of the businesses that we talk to, a lot of them are saying that they're sort of putting the brakes on, if you like, or just being a bit more cautious, a bit more careful. Obviously, waiting for the budget. There's a lot of things that have been speculated already, and some of the employment stuff I think is putting people off recruiting. Mm-hmm. But we had a smaller event, sort of a round table sort of event last week, and we had a bigger networking event a couple of weeks prior, and recruitment. So those businesses that are looking to recruit, recruitment is still an issue for all businesses. So those that are looking to recruit, they find the same issues trying to find the right people. But we actually had an interesting discussion at this roundtable event last week about how culture seems to have changed. So people just don't think twice of not turning up for an interview. So I'm talking about grassroots stuff really.
Yeah.
And we found that as well. So it's a challenge, isn't it? But I think a lot of businesses are finding the same problems.
Yeah, I think that's right. But look, we're a positive podcast because mm-hmm. we're in business, and people in the business community have to be positive, and complaining about interest rates and taxes like a sailor complaining about the sea. We've just got to get on and do it. And I think probably it'll stabilise a bit once the budget decisions are out of the way and the new year is here. Hopefully we will stabilise. But thank you, Terry. And thank you, Martin, for coming in.
That's great. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to join us as a guest on the Northern Business Podcast, please do get in touch. I want to thank our producer, Harry Sinclair, and our tech wizard, Robin Campbell, who's up in the gallery for us. And join us next time on Northern Business Podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe on YouTube and for wherever you get your podcast from.